Good morning. My name is Britt Clayton, registration 15940. I'm with the firm of Riley Carlock and Applewhite, and we represent the appellant Snowmass BV Holdco in this matter. This property tax appeal involves the valuation of the Viceroy Hotel in Snowmass Village, Pitkin County, Colorado. In any property tax valuation analysis, the first question is the proper classification of the property, whether residential, commercial, agricultural, or different classifications for different parts of the property, as is the case here. Here the dispute is over the proper classification of 147 condominium units within the hotel. This issue is, or it should be, a very straightforward matter of applying undisputed facts to unambiguous statutes. We start with the premise on which the parties agree that the 147 units were designed for use predominantly as places of residency, and therefore they fall within the definition of residential property in CRS 391-102 sub 14.3. This is not the end of the analysis, however, because the Colorado Constitution says residential property shall not include hotels and motels. What would otherwise be included within residential property may not be included if it's within the definition of hotels and motels. And this is further codified in CRS 391-102-14.5, which provides that residential real property means residential land and residential improvements, but does not include hotels and motels as defined in subsection 5.5. So this appeal boils down to the question, were the 147 disputed units hotel or motel property as defined in subsection 5.5 on the applicable assessment date of January 1, 2011?
What do we make of the fact that as of January 1st, 2011, I take it 82 units were still under contract for sale?
They were. It was an unusual situation, obviously, with the sellers being in litigation to avoid their contract, the receiver being in some legal jockeying with the assistance of counsel, trying to keep them in their contract. At bottom, this is just not a statutory element. The statutory definition that could apply here is a sort of sub-exception where a hotel unit is in inventory for sale and being offered for sale. You take it out of the hotel definition, and those elements are simply not present here. So
how are they not present when there's a contract for sale that, at least as of January 1st, 2011, someone's trying to enforce?
The units were not being offered for sale or...
There's 82 units that are under contract for sale, and as of January 1st, 2011, as I understand the record, someone is trying to enforce the sale of that under that contract.
That is true.
So how are they then not residential units?
Because they fall within the definition of hotel and motel by virtue of being offered to the public on a nightly basis for lodging. And they are not being offered for sale or marketed for sale to the public.
Well, they're not being offered because they've already been sold. I mean, that's the point. I mean, it seems to me absurd to say it can be a residence if it's being offered for sale, but it can't be a residence if it's actually been sold.
It was a unique situation where the buyer was not a willing buyer anymore. The matter was in litigation.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, we look at the date, January 1, 2011. As of that date, the receiver's position is these are residential units. You have to close on these sales of residential units. We don't care what happens later. We don't even care what contingencies the receiver may have considered. We look at what happens, what the facts are on January 1, 2011. On that date, he's trying to enforce actual sales of residences for over 70 units. Isn't that right?
Yes. That logic, and I understand that logic, obviously, does not apply to the other units that had never been under contract and were in the rental pool.
But what do we do with a property like this where even if they're all sold, right, let's say they're all sold, 147 units are sold, the owners, of course, have the option of putting them into this pool to make them available for rental. If they all do it, are you saying it then becomes a hotel?
No, sir. That gets back to the definition of motel units. You'll recall in Section 5.5, one of the exceptions to the definition of hotel and motel property is a residential unit, except for a residential unit that is a hotel unit. When you look at the definition of a hotel unit, it requires four or more units owned by a single entity or related entities offered for the public. So the individual condominium owner offering their unit for rent would not fall within the definition of hotel unit because there's less than four in that aggregation. And therefore, the residential unit exception in 5.5 sub Roman 1 would apply, taking it out of the definition of hotel and motel property.
Hypothetically, if we have a situation where we have 70 units that are, as of the date of issue, January 1, 2011, residential units, and the other ones are not being marketed, do we have a mixed-use situation?
Yes.
And so they would be taxed. It would be taxed on a mixed-use basis.
Yes, and we have a mixed-use basis here anyway. Partial. under any party's view of things. The question is simply how many of these units are properly classified as residential. So following the logic of the questions here to their conclusion, the court would still have to conclude, I believe, that the units that had never been under contract, that had always been in the rental pool even before the receiver took control, could not arguably meet the definition of residential property.
So under the mixed use, then we would need to remand back to the BAA to make that determination?
One still would, because the units that had never been under contract were improperly characterized as residential, even under this view. The January 1, 2011 assessment date is the critical point of reference because, as the court is aware, it's the status of the property on that date, not some past date or imagined future date, that determines the proper classification of the property. I'm not going to repeat every step in our statutory analysis here, because the county and the Board of Assessment Appeals really didn't fault our application of the facts to the statutes. There was kind of an end run around the statutes, if you will, on the conclusion that the hotel use of these units was temporary, and that this somehow rendered the definitions inapplicable, or the temporary nature of the hotel use was insufficient to overcome the original design intent, which was residential. This entire approach is erroneous for several reasons, as explained in our brief. In summary, there's no support in the record for the factual assertion that the 147 units were in the rental pool on a temporary basis. Despite the county's repeated characterization as temporary, that word just does not appear in the record.
It doesn't appear in the record, but couldn't one draw an inference from the fact that the receiver is still trying to close sales of 70 units, that the receiver would like to actually sell the units?
As we have characterized it, I think the most appropriate word is indeterminate. Temporary implies that there is there's going to be a change, and it was just uncertain. And I think that there's a lesson here that it's not just this property we need to think about, but other situations that may come up here. If I may skip the statutory analysis and jump sort of to the end, which I think is a public policy point. What the county is asking this court to do is to make some new law to the effect that, rather than the facts on the assessment date, we should look at the original design intent at a past time, or the future plans and aspirations of the property owner at a future time. We should try to interpolate or project somehow off of this key assessment date. The statutes and the case law really don't allow that kind of approach. But even if they did, even if this court had the discretion to adopt that kind of new law, it would be a bad idea as a matter of public policy.
Well, counsel, what is sort of the snapshot of what was happening on January 1st?
All 147 units were in the rental pool. The future disposition of those units was completely in doubt as a result of the property being in foreclosure and likely a new owner coming on the scene, the receiver being in a inherently temporary role and not wanting to do anything that would be permanent, only wanting to do things that were reversible or not to change the character of the property. And I think that the Board of Assessment Appeals did not latch onto this particular fact that the court has raised this morning about the units being under contract, being in a different category from the other units. What the Board of Assessment Appeals held is that the temporary nature of all of these units being in the rental pool did not overcome their intrinsically or originally residential nature. Any kind of focus on the psychology of the owner is just bad public policy. It's going to motivate owners to argue to county assessors every year, I'm planning to change this, I'm going to do that, at least with properties that are potentially in flux. When it's to their advantage, property owners are going to talk about their psychology, their motivations, the original design intent. When it's to a county assessor's or a county's advantage, as here, a county may want to look at, well, you've got long-term plans for this, and it's in flux, and it's uncertain. It's just a bad idea, and there's no statutory support for getting into that kind of psychoanalysis. The General Assembly here has laid out a very detailed, very precise regime for determining when this very type of property is residential and when it's hotel. And to psychologize too much about it, I think, is to undermine the statutory scheme and introduce an element of subjectivity that is bad public policy. We have very clear, objective statutes. They can be applied here unambiguously, and we would ask the court to do so. Thank you. I'll reserve my remaining time.
Before you begin, counsel, I would like to caution the audience on a matter that I had omitted when we first started, and that is, if you have cell phones or pagers, please turn them off so they won't disrupt the arguments. Thank you.
May it please the court, Laura Maker, attorney registration 41385, representing the Pitkin County Board of Equalization. The Board of Equalization requests that this court uphold the Board of Assessment Appeals decision to value 147 condominium units for ad valorem taxation purposes. The Board of Assessment Appeals decision was correct for two reasons I'd like to discuss today. One, the units were properly characterized as residential, and two, the units cannot properly be characterized as hotel commercial units. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and swims like a duck, it's a duck. The whole idea behind this duck test is to look at the characteristics of something to determine what that is, rather than to just look at something and say, oh, it looks like a duck, I shouldn't go any further with the analysis. And classifying property for taxation purposes works the same way. You must examine all the characteristics and the use of the property on the assessment date. And Johnson v. Park County says this specifically. Classification is based on the use and characteristics of property as of the assessment date. Mission Viejo goes on to say, there are relevant factors for classifying property, and assessors are required to look at these factors when deciding the classification for that property, specifically actual use, zoning, and applicable use restrictions, as well as probable use. CRS 39-1-1-2.
Counsel, I'm going to interrupt you there. Where do you get this probable use? Where do you get that from? Specifically.
Page 465 in Mission Viejo. That's 881 P second.
Thank you.
CRS 39-1-102-14.3 defines a residential improvement as an improvement which is designed predominantly for use as a residence. Designed predominantly for use as a residence. Let's break that down. The 147 condominium units at issue here were planned, built, designed, and sold as residential. The property design for each of these condominium units included full kitchens, included specific bedrooms that could be locked off from other bedrooms, allowing the condominium owner to use a portion of that condominium while also placing the rest of the condominium into the hotel pool. It also included full living rooms. These are characteristics you typically don't find in hotel rooms.
Council, you're describing the design for use, and my understanding is there isn't a whole lot of dispute about the original design for use. But to go to my snapshot question that I asked your counterpart, what was the actual use on January 1st?
Yeah, there is conflict between the county's position on that question and SNOMAS BV's position. On January 1st, 2011, our position is all of these units were residential placed into the hotel pool. So they were primarily residential use with the ability and the actual placement of those units into the hotel pool for overnight stays.
Now, some of them were tied up in litigation and were under contract, but many of them were not. And the receiver, as I understand it, declared the actual use to be for hotel and motel use only and took them off of the market. How does that affect your analysis on January 1st, 2011?
Thank you, Your Honor. The receiver did not have the ability to do that. He can't declare what the use is or isn't. You have to look at the underlying zoning approvals, and specifically the planned use development approval for these 147 units, in the entirety, was for solely residential use. Further, the covenant restrictions for this property, which the receiver recorded on November 2010, only allowed their use, these specific condominiums only allowed their use as residential with the ability to place them in the hotel pool. So while they were being used for overnight stays, it was solely within their legal ability to do so in the hotel pool.
Okay. In other words, what you're saying is they couldn't, are you saying they couldn't permanently take them off the market that they without getting a zoning change?
Correct. Further, the receiver did not even look at the underlying legal requirements, and he testified to this in the record. He did not only not look at them, he didn't take any steps to change that legal use. So there's no ability for the receiver to decide that these were solely hotel units rather than residential units with the ability to be placed into the hotel pool for overnight stays.
Let me ask you this. Did you in your brief argue that the receiver lacked the authority to change the use of this property because of the lack of a zoning requirement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where in your brief did you argue that? Approximately.
In the section defining residential use.
Okay.
BV had the burden of proof to establish reclassification of these individual units, and they did not meet that standard before the Board of Assessment Appeals. These units specifically can't be classified as hotel units because under CRS 39-1-102-5.5, a condominium unit is a residential unit unless it's a hotel unit. So we get into this statutory and but-for type of analysis. A hotel unit must be used by a business establishment for primarily lodging and predominantly overnight use. BV SNOMAS concedes under any theory that five of the condominium units located on this property were residential, period. There is absolutely no difference between those five units and the other 147 units at issue here. They're the same. They function in the same way. They have the same characteristics. They're used in the same way. BV SNOMAS was taking...
I thought the difference was those five were not going to be put out for rental.
That's not the case. They have the ability to be put out for rental. Those five units were simply with contracts where they were not being contested. They were for residential condominiums with the ability to use those units for overnight hotel stays. the same as the other 147 units. The bottom line is that this simply doesn't pass the duct test. The units were designed for, the units were used for, and the units were intended to be used for residential purposes. Nothing changed as of the assessment date. Simply because the receiver wanted to leave himself the ability to have one entity come in and buy these separately platted, separately tax ID'd, separate units in one fell swoop does not suddenly make them one hotel. It doesn't make them 147 hotel units. It makes them 147 residential condominium units, which can be used in the hotel pool, which may be sold in total. If your honors have no further questions.
I do have a question. You had cited to us a statute about residential improvements, and you had cited it was, you know, the design predominantly for residential use. What kind of test are we supposed to apply here? The actual use as of January 1st, 2011, or the original design for the property? Because then your board used the original design or appeared to use the original design.
The Mission Viejo case speaks directly to this. And I just want to clarify that the assessor used both the original design and the actual use of the assessment date. Mission Viejo.
What if they were in conflict?
If they were in conflict, then right. It's a balancing of factors.
And did they, you know, and if they were in conflict, your board did not balance those factors because your board did not find a conflict. Is that correct?
I agree. However, if they were in conflict, you'd still come to the same result. Because if the actual use...
If they were in conflict, would that be up to us to determine what the result should be, or would it be remanded for the board to determine?
It would be remanded for the Board of Assessment Appeals.
Thank you.
However, the evidence in the record shows that even if they were in conflict, the board came to the correct conclusion. And the reason for that is if they were only used as hotel units, but the original design was as residential units, you have to look at, according to Mission Viejo, the zoning and applicable use restrictions. The zoning for this property did not allow hotel use, and thus cannot properly be classified as hotel use.
Remind me again, counsel, was Mission Viejo a decision of the Colorado Supreme Court or of this court?
I don't know the answer to that on the top of my head.
Well, I didn't either, so that's okay.
Thank you.
Mission Viejo is a decision of this court in 1994. It's at 81 P. Second 462. The probable use factor comes from a citation to the assessor's reference library, which is not a statute or a case law. It's certainly meaningful guidance to assessors, but it must yield to statutory and case law principles. What's significant about Mission Viejo is this was a mansion that was originally designed and used for many years as a residence, fit within the definition of residential property to a T. It had become a non-residential commercial property by virtue of facts set forth in the opinion, and the court here the precisely the kind of mischief that I've posited. The taxpayer comes forward and says, "Well, it was residential all along, so it should remain that way because that was the design intent." And the assessor says, "No, but it's not being used for that now. We look at the use now." And
well, Mr. Clayton, what about this idea though that you can't legally operate a hotel now?
That is not a fact that is supported by the record. It is not a finding of the BAA. If this is of interest to the court, I urge the court to read somebody will need to read the entire transcript and particularly focus at the end. The county threw a lot of flack in the air suggesting that the zoning or the declaration did not permit the rental of these hotel rooms as hotel rooms. It was absolutely not established. At the end of the hearing, We had the complete PUD ready to offer into evidence, a rebuttal witness ready to testify to establish the absolute falsity of this suggestion. And I presented to the BAA, I will present this evidence if there's any question in the board's mind about the lawfulness of this use. And the board looked at me and said, not necessary. There is not a finding and there is not a document. There is speculation by the assessor that the PUD, which wasn't even in evidence completely, he had some layout from the PUD saying it doesn't permit hotel use. It is a complete red herring, and if the court was concerned about this, a remand to the board would be necessary to make a finding on this fact. You cannot be established or accepted based on this record.
All right, let me change gears a little bit and ask you a hypothetical. December 31 of this year, a condominium developer decides, uh-oh, we're in trouble, we're not selling units, and we've got a tax problem. So as of today, I'm going to write up a little resolution that says we're taking them all off the market and we're going to start using them as hotel rooms. Seems to me under your argument that's okay.
No, sir. I think that any time that a taxpayer or anyone else engages in fraudulent characterizations.
Well, it doesn't have to be fraudulent. He may be perfectly sincere. We're in trouble. It's December 31st. We've got to change things, at least for now, until things get better. So today we're going to go to the hotel. We're going to be a hotel.
I think if it's a legitimate decision and not an evasion of taxation, that the use on the assessment date prevails and that people are allowed to change their minds, change the uses of their properties, so long as it's not a subterfuge.
Mr. Clinton, can you comment briefly on the argument that you could not do what you did without a zoning change, which was never granted?
It is not established by the record. It is not accurate. The Board of Assessment Appeals did not find that fact. That fact cannot be deduced from this record. There's only out-of-school speculation by the assessor that's the case. And if that issue is of concern to this court, a remand to the board to make a finding on that would be necessary to take more evidence on it. The record was cut off because the board had heard enough of it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Thank you both, counsel, for your arguments. The case will stand submitted. An opinion will issue in due course. Thank you.